right, tonight, please take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Last week, we started this chapter. We got through verse 11, Romans chapter 5. We talked there about the fruits of justification. Last several times that we've been together in the book of Romans, justification does seem to be the topic that the Apostle Paul is writing about. And those fruits of justification that we talked about last week are peace with God, and then secondly, access to God, and then thirdly, we have hope, and fourth, we have daily confidence, and then fifth, we have the love of God. Those are all the fruits of justification that are mentioned in verses 1 through 11. Now tonight, we're going to start at verse 12, and Lord willing, we'll get through the end of the chapter. We're going to talk about the foundation of justification. And in this section of verses, you'll see a comparison between Adam and Jesus Christ, all right? Adam will be the one that you'll see referred to several times as the first Adam. Jesus is the one that's mentioned as the second Adam. And it's brought out several times in these verses that Adam, the very first Adam, his disobedience is the one that brought sin into the world and the punishment that comes because of sin. By the way, he's the one that brought in the need for justification. When Adam sinned against God, it brought in the need for justification, which then is fulfilled for us by the second Adam, Jesus, and he's the one that makes it possible for us to be righteous before God. So we'll see as we go along here the comparison between those two. If you would notice in verse 12 of chapter 5, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now, all of us know and understand, don't we, that one man that brought sin into the world was Adam. Adam is the one. Please notice this, by the way. Eve is the one that was tempted by the devil, right? She was the one that was by the tree, which God said they were not to spend any time near that tree or, you know, be close to it because that's where the tempter would tempt them. Anyway, she was there, and she's the one that, you know, it seems took of the fruit first and gave it to her husband, Adam. But who got the blame? Adam did. Adam was the one that was responsible. And, of course, he's the man. He's the leader of his home, or supposed to be. And so he was the one that was held responsible for what took place. So, again, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And notice this, and death by sin. This word death is not just physical death, but spiritual death as well. Separation from God because of sin. And so it says, and death by sin. And so death, notice this also, passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's hard for some folks to believe this, but it is true. Even the innocent little babies that are born into this world have that penalty of death that hangs over their head. It's because they're born sinners, and they're born with a sin nature, and that penalty of death passes on to even those little children. And by the way, it comes by way of the Father. It comes by way of the Father, that sin nature, and it passes upon all men, for that all have sinned. Male and female born into this world are born sinners under that penalty, that condemnation, because of what Adam did. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Was the law in force when Adam and Eve lived? No, wasn't here yet. It wasn't given, of course, until Moses, right? So it would be quite a while before the law was given. But that's why the Bible says here in verse 13, for until the law, until Moses, you can think of it that way, sin was in the world. Sin was in the world, okay, because of what Adam and Eve did. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though the law wasn't given until Moses. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, but not as the offense, here's a little bit of good news, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's what Adam did, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Here's a question for all of us. How many people will God save if they're willing? All of them, right? God would save anyone if that person's willing, okay? In fact, as Jesus died on the cross, and how many men's and women's sins did he pay for? All of them. All of them. Is it any wonder then why nobody will have an excuse at the great white throne judgment? Because everybody who's at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, every one of those people standing at that judgment are going to be condemned and put into the lake of fire, but every one of them are without excuse. Why? Because Jesus paid for their sins also. They chose not to receive his free gift of salvation. They're responsible for why they're going to end up there. God's not. Well, how could a God who loves people do that? Oh, friend, I'm sorry. God didn't do that. Those individuals did that by rejecting the free gift of salvation. So, again, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more, don't you like that? Much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one man, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I am so glad, I'm thinking you probably are too, but I am so glad that it doesn't matter how many offenses, to use the Bible word here, how many offenses we have had before we got saved. Once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, no matter how many offenses you have to your account, they're all forgiven. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you think about sometimes, can God save this one? Now, could God save this one? Or this person's really heinous. Could God save that person? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because no matter how many offenses they have against God and God's law, Jesus Christ paid for every one of those sins. And if they will turn to the Lord and ask forgiveness and receive that gift of salvation, all those offenses are all wiped away. What a wonderful truth that is. Now, sometimes, of course, I think about you, Kathy, when I think about this, because of your past and people that you've mentioned to me before. You know, sometimes some of the hardest people to get saved are those good Lutherans, yeah. Right? Or good Catholics, or good Methodists, or good whatever brand you want to give to them. You know, they think because of their background and how they've lived their life and their church attendance and all this kind of stuff that, I mean, you're surely not talking to me. You're trying to tell me that I have to be born again? Kind of reminds you of Nicodemus, doesn't it? Kind of reminds you of him or others like him that are mentioned in the Word of God. But people that think that they're by themselves good enough that they don't really need to be born again. I mean, Jesus, he doesn't really have to save me because, I mean, look at who I am. I've never murdered anybody. I've never robbed any banks. I haven't done some of the things that a lot of other people have done. So why would I even need that? But again, the truth is, because of what Adam did, we all need that. Here's a question for you. Does the Pope need to be saved? Yes. He sure does, doesn't he? He surely does. Does Joe Biden need to be saved? Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Chuck Schumer?
Yes.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer needs to be saved. And anyone, it doesn't matter who you want to mention, okay? Everyone, Democrat, Republican, Independent, no affiliation, every one of them needs to be saved. We all need to be saved because of what Adam did. See, not only are we born sinners, but then when we get old enough, we even choose to sin. We choose to sin. So back to the text again here. For by one man's offense, that's verse 17, death reigned by one, much more. Several times now Paul has mentioned those two words, much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Please notice it's a gift of righteousness. It's not something you worked for or attained all by yourself. It's a gift of righteousness, and that will reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, think about Adam, disobeying God, judgment came upon how many men?
All
men, it says, right? You know, this is real simplistic, but aren't the words of the Bible important? And don't they really give us the truth of what we need to know on this topic? All men. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's, of course, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, the salvation that the Lord offers, of course, is available to everyone. But not everyone's going to be willing to receive it. And those that are not willing to receive it, of course, it's there, but they never get to enjoy it because they won't receive it. Aren't you glad that because you said yes to the Lord, you have that? I mean, it's already a done deal. And he'll never take it back. He never will do that. So we have the wonderful word of God here to remind us that it's a free gift, and it's his righteousness that he gives to us, his justification, his declaring us to be righteous. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that's Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. So there's a comparison here again. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Let's look at the notes here just for a little bit. Because Roman numeral 2, the foundation of justification, in this section we see how by one man's disobedience, the first Adam, many were made sinners, and that by one man's obedience, that is the second Adam, Jesus Christ, many were made righteous. There's a contrast here, and I put this in your notes so you'd have this, between Adam and Jesus Christ. Adam was made of the earth, while Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven. Number two, Adam was king of the old creation, while Jesus Christ is Lord of the new creation. Number three, Adam was tested in a perfect garden, think about that, and failed, while Jesus Christ was tested in the wilderness and succeeded. Number four, Adam brought sin, death, and condemnation to the human race, while Jesus Christ brought righteousness, life, and justification. Quite a contrast between these two, huh? On the next page, number five, through Adam, death reigned, while through Jesus Christ, grace reigns. Number six, through Adam, many were made sinners, while through Jesus Christ, many were made righteous. Number seven, men are in Adam by way of physical birth, while men are in Jesus Christ by way of spiritual birth. All right? So every human being on earth is either in Adam and lost, or they are in Jesus Christ and saved. And the question there, which one are you? Well, I'm glad to be able to stand up here tonight and say, I am in Jesus Christ. Yes, I was born in Adam as a sinner and condemned, but I got saved and now I'm in Jesus Christ and I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ and I've been declared to be justified. I'm declared to be, this is what we normally think of it as, I've been declared to be just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. What a great and wonderful truth that is. So in these verses, we have these comparisons that I put there. And then letter B in your notes, the consequences of Adam's sin, verses 12, 13, and 14, which we've already read. Sin entered the world, death entered the world, both physical and spiritual death. Condemnation entered the world. God said everything he made was good in Genesis 1. Yet God noticed man's fall had corrupted his creation. Did you ever think about the fact that before Adam sinned against God by eating from that tree, whatever kind of tree it was. But before Adam sinned by eating from that tree, there were no weeds. Isn't that amazing? Do you still grow a garden, Kathy? Yeah, I know you and George always did. You remember when we tried growing a garden? Notice the word tried. It was normally good until we went to camp, and then we went to camp in June, I think it was. But anyway, those 2 weeks at camp, when we came back, the weeds took over, and I gave up. Okay? But there were no weeds before Adam sinned. There were no weeds. And, of course, there's many things. We know this from reading God's Word, especially in the book of Genesis and other places, that many of the things that trouble us and trial us and test us, many of those things came about because of sin. Because of sin. I'm looking around the room right now and I see a lot of pairs of glasses as I look through my glasses, okay? But there were no glasses before Adam sinned. There was no need for them. There was no need for them. Just think. Same way with, this afternoon, Sarah had to go to the dentist and have some work done that, thank God, was free because, you know, what the dentist had done last year didn't turn out so well. And so the work she had done today, and she has to go back in 2 weeks to get the permanent crown put back on. But thank God, again, it was free. But anyway, you didn't need that before Adam sinned. You know, so many of the things, right? I see some people have, walkers, and of course we have that chair lift, and, you know, there's so many things like that, right, that hearing aids people have, and so many different things that afflict us. It's all because of sin. It's all because of sin. None of that happened before Adam and Eve sinned. I'm looking forward to the time, aren't you, when we won't need those things anymore. Amen. Bodies won't get old. Joints won't hurt? Huh? You won't have ailments? No sore throats? No headaches? You know, I hope it's okay to say it right here, but our granddaughter Sophie's home tonight, and Rebecca's watching her because she's not doing well health-wise. But another example would be my sister who's got scleroderma, and she's had that since 1995, and she's getting closer and closer to moving on to heaven. And there was none of that before. There was no cancer before. You know, so many things, right? All because of sin that entered into the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And I'm looking forward to the day when all those things are done away with. And you don't ever have to worry about those things again, because Jesus is going to set all that right. These are all part of the consequences of sin, Adam's sin, verses 12, 13, and 14. And then we continued on, and I started reading some of these verses again. Verse 15 and 16 continues this contrast, you know, between Adam and Jesus. There's an offense versus the free gift in verses 15 and 16, of course, which we read already, and I tried to explain a little bit. Verse 15 and 16, Adam's offense brought condemnation and death. Jesus Christ's actions and grace brings justification and life. Verse 17, there's death versus life. Notice verse 17 again, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. What a contrast. Death versus life between the first and second Adam. Third, verse 18, there's condemnation versus justification. Verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Condemnation versus justification. Adam's sin against God plunged the whole human race into condemnation. But Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection brings man into right standing with God. When Adam sinned, he hid from God, just like every unsaved man does. In Christ, we are told we have access to God and that we are to come boldly unto him. What a difference. What a difference that it was and still is. Fourth, verse 19. Verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. So here's another comparison. Disobedience versus obedience. Adam disobeyed God, and all men were made sinners. Jesus obeyed God, and all who receive him by faith are made righteous. That's quite a comparison. Just as men submit to sin by an act of their will, even so men submit to Jesus Christ by an act of their will. You have to be willing to bow the knee, don't you? And surrender. Surrender in order to be saved. Fifth comparison here, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered. Here's why the law was given, okay? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Here, something that happened this week. When you pull up to a stoplight and it's red, what are you supposed to do?
Stop.
How long are you supposed to stop?
Until it turns green.
This happened to us three times. Was it Monday? Three times on Monday in Madison, where we pull up to a stoplight. There's a couple different lanes of traffic. We pull up to a stoplight and it's still red. And while we're there, one of the persons next to us in the car takes off and goes through. Three times that happened on Monday. I told Sarah, I said, this was before the eclipse. I said, does it have anything to do with the eclipse that's going to happen later today? People are nuts. People are nuts. And I said to her, I said, well, I guess on the day of the eclipse, you can make up your own rules and just do whatever you want. Three times we saw that happen. I bring that up because there is a law that says you're supposed to stop, right? And stay there till it turns green. There are speed limit laws. You know this if you've ever driven on the Beltline recently. The speed limit sign says 55, and I've driven the whole Beltline, and it always says 55. But people don't drive like it's 55. Am I right? You've been on a Beltline, you know that. They're driving like it's, 70 or 80, some of them. It's just amazing. I guess you can make up your own rules. Kind of reminds me of, going through Chicago on the interstate. It doesn't matter what the speed limit sign says. If you want to not be run over, you have to kind of get up with everybody else. And it's at least 80, I know, running through Chicago. And it makes me nervous. I don't like doing that, But if you don't want to get run over, people, they live as if there are no laws, many people today. But there are laws, and laws are meant to keep people, behaving themselves properly. And like the Bible says here, that the law entered, verse 20, that the offense might abound. If you're ever driving way out west, there are areas where you don't see speed limit signs, so often. And there was a day, of course, when there were no speed limit signs out there and so forth. But there are speed limit signs. And one of the things I like about, my phone, if you have a map program on, because I wanted to find out for sure where the cemetery is, where Bonnie Lewis is going to be buried. I'd never heard of this cemetery before. And so we took a little trip earlier today to find that cemetery, and we're out on a country road, and there's no speed limit sign that I've noticed. And so Sarah says to me, because she's got my phone and the map program's going, and it says on there the speed limit. Now, I didn't have to slow down, because I was already going the speed limit, but I'm just saying that's handy to have that. But those are related to laws that help people to behave and to know when there's an offense, all right? The law was given, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now look at verse 20 again. But where sin abounded, this is because of Jesus, grace did much more abound. Again, I asked this earlier. Who can the Lord save? Anybody who's willing to be saved. He can save anyone. Doesn't matter how wicked they are or how much sin that they've done in their life. Any one of them can be saved. So law versus grace is what's talked about there in verse 20. Adam's sin necessitated God's law in order to show man his sinfulness. Jesus' obedience fulfilled the law for every man. I sure am happy for that. You know that? I can't fulfill the law. I can't. But Jesus did. And because I'm saved, that righteousness has been applied to my account. Well, there's one more comparison there, and that's verse 21. And that is sin versus righteousness. It says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Adam's sin brings death, but Jesus' righteousness brings eternal life. I don't know that it's true for you. I'm guessing that it probably is, though. Have you found this to be true? Since you've been saved, you don't live the way you used to live. How many of you that's true? Okay. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, I will pray for you. Okay. Because it should be true, right? Once you get saved, you don't live the way you used to do. You know, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. You know, Sarah's glad for this. The women I used to date, I don't date them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Words I used to say, I don't say them anymore. You know, there's a lot of things we could say, right? Beverages I used to drink, I don't drink them anymore. A lot of things have changed because righteousness is a part of my life, see? Righteousness. Now, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. We still slip up. We still make mistakes. We still disobey sometimes. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we're hard-headed. Sometimes we're stiff-necked. If we're honest, we all probably admit to that. That's part of our sin nature that's still there. But that doesn't characterize our life, does it? What characterizes our life is righteousness, because we're saved. Because Jesus Christ has saved us and put within us the Spirit of God to help us to live this Christian life that He wants us to live. People that say that they're saved and their life isn't demonstrating that, that's really not a good signal or a good sign. Something, they need to have a checkup. Something's awry there somehow. So, verses 1 through 11, the fruits of justification. Verses 12 to 21, the foundation of justification. And if I were to narrow that all down, the foundation to justification, I would put it all on Jesus Christ and what He did for us on Calvary. Amen? It's what Jesus did for us on Calvary. That's the foundation for justification. And because we were made and conceived in sin, and we were part of Adam's race, we were born sinners, that necessitated the need for justification, which was made possible by Jesus Christ, our Savior. He made it all possible. And I'm sure you're just like me. I'm so thankful. I didn't ask Him to do this, but I'm so thankful He did that for me. Amen. He made it possible so that I could be redeemed and I could be saved and I could know what it means to be a born-again Christian. And so for you and for anyone who's willing to receive that free gift. Well, let's pray and we'll ask the Lord to bless what we've talked about tonight. Father, thank You for this time and for each one that's here, and thank You for the things that Jesus did for us. Adam, the very first Adam, is the reason we were born sinners and why even as we get older and we sadly choose to sin. But Jesus made it possible because of what He did on the cross for us to be justified, for us to have His righteousness. And because of that, we can not live a sinful life, we can live a righteous life, a moral, clean, God-honoring life. So help us in this area to live our lives that way each and every day. There will be times, of course, when we'll mess up. We've all done that, I'm sure. But we can ask forgiveness, and Your word says that if we will ask for forgiveness, You will forgive us. And I'm thankful for that as well. Bless us now as we close the Bible study and get into the prayer time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.